Hello, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the talk for Sunday, the 3rd of September 2023. And today we are continuing our Back to Basics series, and this morning we're going to be looking at the topic of assurance, and in particular, assurance when it comes to our faith. So, hello, and thank you for joining me here as we continue this series. So as human beings, I think it's fair to say that we all crave certainty. And the definition of assurance is that we have a guarantee, we can have total trust and be able to rest in complete security. Essentially, assurance is freedom from doubt. And it can be doubt about all manner of things. We all want to be sure that the doctor or surgeon knows what he's doing. Maybe the marker pen on the correct leg before the operation is always a help. We want to know that our food is safe before we eat it and that our job is secure. Or be sure that we'll be safe when we embark on a new adventure or a new trip. And some of us may have been fortunate at some point in our lives when there have been occasions when we have felt assured or certain about situations that we found ourselves in and have experienced a complete absence of doubt. Maybe it was when you met your life partner. You were certain that this was Mr. or Mrs. Wright and that you'd spend the rest of your life with them, no question at all. Or maybe as a small child, when you were worried about the dark or monsters under the bed, you found total security when your mum and dad told you that everything was fine. Or like me, you might have felt totally safe hiding behind the sofa when the Daleks showed up on Doctor Who. Or maybe it was when you got your first new or nearly new car. You might have felt totally confident that this one won't let you down on the outside lane of the motorway. After all, spending nearly a year's salary on it surely brought you total reliability and safety. Or maybe for you, it was when you took your first steps of faith as a Christian. You'd thought it all through, read your Bible, been encouraged by other Christians, and you were totally and utterly secure in the knowledge and basis of your faith. A new believer, perhaps, red hot for God. But it doesn't always last, does it? Doubt creeps in and the doubt gets bigger and bigger, and you can almost feel it feeding itself. Being completely sure of something, having this total assurance, isn't something that we humans find particularly easy. It's perhaps part of the human condition to have doubt and feel that things are just too good to be true. And you know, sometimes we are right to have doubts. We are right to question what we are seeing or what we are being told. Because after all, we live in an imperfect world. It's not how God created it. And we're right to be on the lookout for deception. We heard all about that in our last series. And sometimes we just can't get the certainty or the assurance that we crave. Think back to the early days of the COVID pandemic. Did you feel assured that you wouldn't get COVID? Did you feel assured that the politicians and experts you heard on the TV knew exactly what they were doing and always had your best interests at heart? Did you feel assured that the vaccine was safe and would prevent you getting serious illness or hospitalisation? Did you feel assured that wearing a mask or putting sanitizer on your hands would prevent the spread of the disease? Or if you did, back then, do you feel the same now? Did you feel that opening the windows would give you the security and confidence that the virus would stay outdoors? Well, only you can answer those questions for yourself. But I'm pretty sure there'll be an element of doubt. And that's just one specific example of where we've all found it hard to have total assurance. But even on a more personal and relational level, we sometimes find it hard to have the assurance that even those close to us are going to live up to the promises they make. And I wonder how many of us have made promises to other people that either we don't intend to keep, forget to keep. You can imagine the conversation, oh, we must keep in touch, we must do lunch. perhaps promises that we've changed our mind about keeping, or those that we're perhaps unable to keep even in the first place. There's no wonder that we sometimes struggle with assurance. And in fact, as a Christian, we should expect to struggle. We're in a spiritual battle where the devil is always looking to undermine us and sow seeds of doubt about our lives, our relationships, and our faith. We are warned in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." There's nothing he likes more than us being distracted by fear, doubt, and lack of confidence or assurance. Even the examples we looked at earlier might not turn out as certain as we expected. Marriages sadly break down. Cars break down. And it's not unheard of for those Christians who were red hot for God to grow cold in their faith and let their doubts take hold. Faith is not easy. And read what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Even from that verse, you can see how hard it can be to maintain our faith and our assurance about things that we cannot see. So what does the Bible say about assurance? What confidence can it give us? Well, the fact that God is referred to over 50 times in the Bible as the rock is to me a great starting point. In both the Old and the New Testament books, there's this image of a solid, permanent, reliable, strong God. And it's there, clear to see. He's also referred to as an anchor. Another Hebrews reference, verse 19 of chapter 6. We have this hope, and they mean the hope of salvation, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. An anchor that will hold, therefore, during the storms of life. There may be a hymn in there somewhere. And how often do we read about God putting his arms of love around us, the symbol of safety and security? But there's so much more that we can have confidence in. And for the remaining few minutes today, I want to share with you four reasons to be confident, four reasons to feel assured in your faith if you are a follower of Jesus. And to make this easy to remember, we're going to use words and phrases that begin with the letter P. Number one, we are part of God's plan. Number two, we are participants in his promise. Number three, he has paid the price for our sin. And number four, we are protected by his power. So number one then, we are part of God's plan. The first chapter of Ephesians gives us real clarity about us being part of God's plan and sharing in heaven with him at the last day in the second coming. And the verses read like this. "And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and everything on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan." We're told in these verses here that God chose us individually to be part of his plan. We're told that we have already received an inheritance from God. He's already put us as a beneficiary in his will, if you like. There is no ambiguity. There is no doubt. This is a matter of biblical fact. And this means that as human beings, as you, as me, we are not here by accident. We haven't just evolved from a big bang. We are here by God's glorious design. And we have purpose, we have meaning, and we have value. We hear a lot in church most weeks that God has a plan for each of our lives. The plan for our lives is so that we can fit into his wider plan. But that doesn't mean that the plan for each of us is going to be easy. It may not be. This plan might cost us something, or it might be a plan that we can't quite get our head around. But we can be assured that God's plan is the right plan for our lives because God is our rock. He is our anchor, and he doesn't make mistakes. Our job is to discover the plan that he has for us by prayer, by study, by listening to God, what God wants us to do, to take opportunities to use our talents, and by serving him. Because being a Christian is not a passive activity where we receive from God all the time. It's an active calling where we should be serving him every day. And that's the only way that we will fill this first point that we want to make this morning. The only way that we can fulfill the plan that he has for us, because we are part of God's plan. Number two, we are participants in his promise. The second heading is that we can be assured that we can share in his promise. Verse 13 in that same chapter in Ephesians tells us that having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We can therefore be assured that if we are a Christian, God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and to help us on life's journey. It's his promise that you will receive the Holy Spirit, and God's promises, well, they're never broken. Why? Well, because of God's good character. He's consistent. He's the essence of righteousness. He can't lie. Because God is unchanging. His plan for us was conceived before even creation, and it's not changed since. He just does not make mistakes. God is infinitely wise. His promise will be the best for our lives, because he doesn't make bad promises. So we can believe and trust in God's promises. We can be assured. But to benefit from the promise, you also have to know what you've been promised. And to do that, you need to know the Bible. And for believers, there are promises all the way through, from Genesis to Revelation. Far too many to talk about this morning, but do some research. Find out what God has promised you as a believer. You will be amazed. So we're part of God's plan. We're participants in God's promise. Number three, he has paid the price for our sin. Well, Romans 6 verse 23 reminds us of the consequences of our sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sometimes forget that God is a God of judgment and that God hates sin. So much so that the punishment for, or the wages of, sin is death. That's what it says in Romans. But as a Christian, we can be assured that the price of that sin has already been paid. Imagine going to see the bank manager about £1 million debt that you couldn't afford to repay. And when you get there, he says, don't worry, son, somebody's paid it on your behalf. You're free to walk away. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sin. He paid the price for our debt, if you like. And therefore, we can benefit from God's grace, grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The debt has been paid, and because Jesus rose from the dead, death is defeated. And as a Christian, we can also benefit from that defeat of death and ultimately receive eternal life with God. And it's a promise. And we know already that we can fully rely on God's promises. But we also have our part to play, because the price he paid for sin was a price he also paid essentially to buy us, to purchase us. And we therefore belong to God. And we must honour him with everything we have and everything we do. But why wouldn't we do that? Because he has already paid the highest price, the ultimate sacrifice. So honouring God with all that we have is the least we can do to have that assurance of salvation. So we are part of God's plan. We're participants in his promise. He has paid the price for our sin. And finally, we are protected by his power. Thankfully for us as Christians, we don't have to rely on our own power. We can't rely on our own power. We can't rely on just doing our best. We can't rely on our best intentions or our hard work. We can't rely on the generosity of what we put in the collection each week. We can't rely on the enthusiasm of our singing. All we can rely on is the power of God, that through faith in him we will get to heaven. His power is unimaginable for us. It's a power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's the same power that will raise us up on that last day. So we are part of God's plan. We are participants in his promise. He has paid the price for our sin, and we're protected by his power. That's why we should have assurance in our faith. But as we just close, we should probably cut ourselves just a little bit of slack and acknowledge that it's okay to have doubts. Christians will always have doubts. But having a doubt doesn't actually mean that you don't have the assurance of salvation. I'll say that again, it's a bit of a double negative. But having a doubt doesn't mean that you don't have the assurance of salvation. Because if you've accepted that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short of God's standards, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, and if you call upon the name of Jesus and trust him as your Lord and Saviour, then you have the blessed assurance that the hymn we're about to sing next promises. Amen.